Hello and welcome to The Sounds of Success. My name is Phil Butler.
I'm Christina Bowie.
We made it. This is episode 2. I guess this makes us like an official podcast now,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. We're multiple a recurring podcast. It's not a one-shot wonder.
I mean, I'm sure the big checks will just be rolling in any minute now for sponsors.
Oh, yes. I'm excited for those sponsorships. I'm about to sponsor posts all up and down Instagram.
This week, we had a great guest from the Sanger Learning Center come and talk to us.
Yeah, so we talked to Nisha Abraham from the Sanger Learning Center, and she gave quite a lot of really awesome tips and perspectives on online learning and reaching out for help and all of the services that the Sanger Learning Center provides. And we'll get into that as you progress through the podcast. But for those of you who are living in the Jester dorms, the Sanger Learning Center is in the Jester building. It is literally downstairs of where
right.
you live.
No excuse.
No excuses. And for those of you who aren't in person, who aren't on campus, all of the services that Sanger is offering this year is going to be completely online for you. So there are actually no excuses for you to not utilize this amazing service that you have already paid for with your tuition.
One of the things I loved about the interview is when she kind of talked about her own background and her own struggles in college and how that translates into the work that she's doing now. So let's, without further ado, get into the interview, right?
Awesome.
So my name is Nisha Abraham. My title is Learning Specialist, but I am also the Senior SI Coordinator at the Sanger Learning Center.
All right. What's your wildest fun fact here? I can read it, but I want to hear about it.
Yeah, it was so interesting. I actually messaged this to some coworkers and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm really boring because I can't think of anything wild. But I do like to use this fun fact. I think it is kind of an interesting fact about me and my family. So all four of us, my mom, my dad, my sister, and I, we all happen to have careers and fields that are not at all related to our undergraduate majors. So my dad got his degree in mechanical engineering, and he ended up becoming a professor of finance and economics and did that for 20 years. He's now retired. And my mom similarly had her undergraduate degree in English, and she ended up getting an MBA and working in corporate finance as well, and also retired. But my sister has an electrical engineering degree, and she works in business strategy. And then my background is in biology. I got my degree here at UT, and then I also got my master's at A&M. But now I work in teaching and education. So I just really like that story because it really hopefully gets across this idea that your undergraduate degree doesn't really have to determine your future, and you still have a lot of options after college to chart a different path if that's what you want.
Absolutely. I'm the same way. My undergraduate degree was in international relations. I specialized in Latin American revolutions, and now I work in higher education. It is
right.
The best possible job I could ask for after graduating. And yeah, you have so many things to do that are not limited to what you study at all.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. And I hear that from a lot of students. I know that, at least when I see students in person, I think one of the things that I get from them is just feeling a lot of stress about how, you know, this degree and my degree plan and how that's going to translate to jobs and all of that. And I know it's not always easy for people to hear that when they're in that crisis mode, but I hope that some of these stories or some of these facts can get you thinking of like, oh, it's okay. It's okay if, you know, I don't end up doing this, or I'm not particularly that motivated, or maybe I'm not sure. I just am unsure about whether this degree is what I want to do with the rest of my life. I've made probably 3 or 4 career changes in my life. And I ended up here, and I'm so
still counting.
Still counting, right? I try to tell people that I'm not trying to stop counting now because that certainly could change. But it's a hard thing, I think, for college students to hear that and to internalize it and be like, yes, it's okay. It's okay that you haven't figured it all out yet. That's not really, hopefully that's, people are realizing that's not the purpose of college. And it's more about, you know, learning how you learn, making connections, like all these other things that I'll certainly talk about later in the podcast. But Yeah, sometimes people can get a little bit of what is it called? Blinders on for
tunnel vision.
Tunnel vision. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I really like that so many of your family members have different backgrounds. Like I'm imagining some really interesting like holiday gathering conversations.
Yeah.
You know, from all these different perspectives.
Oh, definitely. I can't tell you how many times my sweet father, who is, like I said, very smart, has a PhD, but he to this day cannot seem to understand what DNA is. And I swear, this is funny that you brought up Christmas, but truly every Christmas, it's like trying to sit down with him and explain the thing. And he's still like so baffled by like, what is biology? It's like, it's so foreign to him. But anyway, it makes me laugh every time. And I'm sure same thing. He's tried to explain like Fourier transforms to me. And I'm like, what is happening? I have no idea what that means. So, but also that's the beauty of our family is that we all kind of love and accept, you know, our expertise and are happy to share it, but also like happy to be like, we don't understand your expertise and that's okay too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it seems like your expertise is in helping students become experts at figuring out how they learn. How did you get into that role with Sanger?
That is such a good question. Like I said, I've had, you know, several career changes in my time. But a little bit of my backstory. So I went to UT. Well, I actually grew up internationally. I lived in Saudi Arabia. I lived in India. So yeah, I had kind of a storied high school upbringing. But I'll be honest, my last 2 years of high school were, you know, not super well, didn't really super well prepare me for college. The high school was fine. And I happened to do really well at that high school. I think the standards just weren't really there. And so I've kind of skated by just kind of doing the bare minimum. And then I applied to UT Austin and got in and showed up here thinking like, I know I'm like good at school. I know what's up, and had no idea what I was doing. And just really got kind of shocked by what the expectations were of like how I was supposed to be learning and you know, what the level of content, the rigor, the expectations. And so that first year was very tough. That first year was really hard. And, you know, I was also definitely struggling with a little bit of figuring out what I wanted to do. So I applied as undeclared in the College of Natural Sciences. And, you know, I liked biology. You know, I had sort of this dream of like, oh, my dad's a professor. Maybe I want to be a professor. That sounds really cool. But didn't really understand what it meant to be a college professor. What did that entail? You know, did I like biology enough to do that? So I got my degree in cell and molecular biology at UT. And I did have some wonderful experiences working in the bio labs and found some wonderful mentors. And after college, I decided to go work at a biotech company that was here in Austin called Ambion, and had a great experience doing that as well. But eventually was like, okay, this is the time. If I want to, you know, become a college professor, I need to apply to graduate school and all of that. And then when I applied, I got into Texas A&M and started attending. And so I'd enrolled in a PhD program, and pretty much within the first 6 months was pretty miserable. You know, part of the program, of course, is that you're joining a lab and you're starting to do research.
Yeah.
And that was just the thing that I wanted to do the least. It just was, you know, with of course, all graduate students have a lot of different responsibilities. I was a TA, I was going to classes, I was in a lab doing research. But of all those things, the thing that I felt the least connected to is research. I just found it really difficult and did not really enjoy it. And I found that I was spending close to probably like 80% of my time actually creating PowerPoints for my class and really being engaged in more of the teaching aspect, and found that I was just so drawn to that. And I realized kind of within that first year, oh, okay, well, sounds like the research thing just isn't your jam. It really is something about teaching is really calling you. And so that's when I really started to discover that I was probably more interested in the teaching aspect than I was in the research aspect. So I ended up getting my MS in biology. I graduated with my master's, and then I came back to Austin, and I was a little bit lost, to be honest. The first, you know, year I got back here, I knew I wanted to be in education, but I didn't know how to get my foot in the door. Because I had this master's in biology, you know, people, of course, they think of you as a content expert, but I didn't have any formal education in education and teaching.
So many of us don't,
so
right?
So many of us don't, right? Absolutely. And so I kind of took a kind of a crazy risk at that time. And I just decided to try to get as many part-time jobs as I could that would maybe help me get my foot in the door. So some examples of that was I taught as an adjunct faculty member at a university here in Austin. I did tutoring for, you know, just joined an online tutoring center and just, you know, would teach and tutor high school students, some college students. And then I also joined the Austin Technology Incubator, which is technically part of UT. Some folks haven't heard of it, but it comes out of the IC Squared Institute. And so, yeah, what they do is they, so I was kind of hired more for my bioscience and my biology background, but essentially they help students and individuals, faculty members who want to commercialize their technology. So if they've developed something that is, you know, some kind of biology innovation, or, I mean, we had an energy incubator, we had lots of different sections of that, but I specifically worked in the bioscience area. So I just kind of cobbled together a lot of things trying to A, make ends meet, but also trying to just get some experience in teaching and training so that, you know, I was getting my foot in the door a little bit there. And then in 2016, I applied. There was a job that opened up at Sanger for the Discovery Scholars Program, which is a success program that is out of the School of Undergraduate Studies. And I applied for that. And that's how I kind of got to Sanger.
Wow.
Yeah,
lots of everyone's student affairs path is so, yeah, so zigzaggy. And I love hearing people's stories of how they got into their positions at UT like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
like,
well,
they're so telling.
And the other lovely thing was, it was really interesting in 2016. I was really kind of, you know, I was continuing doing this tutoring stuff and teaching, but I was getting a little nervous that maybe because I didn't have the formal sort of education degree that I was never going to make it into, you know, the university. And so I actually applied for the Sanger job and I applied to the STEM education program at UT at the same time, thinking like, oh, one of those things will hopefully work out. And they both worked out. So I ended up getting into the STEM ed program at the same time. And so what was really lovely about Sanger and what is true, like you said, of many, you know, the professional staff units on campus is that we all really value, you know, furthering your education. So the director at the time was really helpful and was like, yeah, absolutely. If you want to do that part-time while you're working. So I was able to actually go back to school while I was working full-time at Sanger. So I also have an MA in STEM
Fantastic.
Education.
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. So the Sanger Learning Center, a lot of students know of the Sanger Learning Center for offering things like one-on-one and drop-in tutoring. But it seems like that is pretty much all students know about the Sanger Learning Center.
Sure.
I know that's all I knew when I was an undergrad here.
Right.
So now is your chance to plug your learning center.
Sure. Oh my gosh, I can't. This is going to be like a long spiel because I love it, you know.
Yeah. Where to start, right?
I know where to start. I do think you're right. A lot of people probably associate Sanger most with tutoring, which is awesome. We do have an enormous and very well-run tutoring center. And so we do both one-on-one tutoring and drop-in tutoring. So that means you can either make an appointment with a tutor, just you and that tutor, or you can join our drop-in tutoring center, which is virtual. Right now it is virtual. All is virtual. We do also have workshops. So those workshops are things like reading effectively for college, time management, just general study effectiveness skills. So you can kind of come and take any of those workshops, but they also come out to the FIGS a lot. So my coworker, Rachel Jenkins, is attending, if I'm not mistaken, every single FIG this semester, which is an enormous amount of FIGs.
Wow.
Yeah. So many.
It's a lot. It's something like 600. So hopefully all of your students will still be able to hear about some of these really effective study skills through, through their FIGs. Some other programs that we have are the Peer Academic Coaching Program. So this is if you're interested as a student to kind of have a little bit more accountability and meet with somebody weekly. And it's going to be a student, so it's a peer, but they've been trained to kind of help you manage your time, study effectiveness, very similar stuff to what a professional learning specialist does. It's just that you're meeting with somebody that's kind of at the same level as you, who may have been a little bit successful in implementing these things and can kind of help you with those skills. And generally, the person who runs it, Darcy Barrick, will help match you with people who are in your same major or in your same college, so that, yeah, you're kind of talking about the same, you know, the same similarities, like, oh, I really struggled in OChem, or I really struggled in these classes, or, oh, you know, this particular college has internships. Can you help me figure out how to do those things? So that's kind of what peer academic coaching is. Yeah, it's a really, really great program.
That's awesome.
And free. Everything at Sanger's free, if I hadn't plugged that already. And then, of course,
every time you say that, or at least when I talk about things being free at UT, I'm like, quote unquote free, right? Like, you pay for this in your tuition. So
absolutely.
Use it.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure, like, further down in my little spiel, I definitely make that clear, is that when we say free, your tuition has already paid for it. So, you know,
go get your money's worth.
Go get your money's worth. Absolutely. So similarly, we have professional learning specialists who, just like a peer academic coach or a PAT coach, but this is more, you would make an appointment. And we can talk to you about all kinds of things like time management, study effectiveness, test anxiety, learning disabilities, reading effectively. We have a really, like, kind of a pretty wide breadth of services that you can come talk to a professional learning specialist, and you get, you know, 60 minutes with that person. You can make as many appointments as you want. And so that's a really helpful tool as well. And then we also have some specific things for courses. So again, like tutoring, which is specific to courses, we have a couple of programs that are more group-based. So supplemental instruction, which is the program that I run, or SI, and then PLUS, which stands for peer-led undergraduate study. These are programs that provide essentially weekly study groups or study sessions that are led by trained students. So I train students who have taken the class successfully, and then they come up with a lesson plan, they attend class so that they're keeping up with the material, and then they create these collaborative activities for students to work through. And it's totally voluntary. It's not linked to the, you know, the grades for the class. So you can, if any students feel like, man, I'm really struggling with this piece of content, but I'm a little nervous to go to office hours, you know, going to SI can help you, because talking out those difficulties and those complexities with other peers and with a person who kind of knows that content a little bit better can be really helpful.
Yeah, there's a lot of value in that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then PLUS is a program that is similar to that. It just happens to be more for upper level courses. So I do want to emphasize that if your students are like, oh, these are all classes, these are all, you know, support services for freshmen, and there's not really anything for me. No, we absolutely have services. All these services are open to anybody, you know, in your second, third, fourth year. And PLUS certainly targets upper level courses.
Yeah.
And then we do have math reviews and refreshers. So, you know, if you're taking calculus or you're taking even algebra, we have algebra refreshers and reviews. So we Yeah, we do them throughout the semester for, you know, the first exam review, second exam review, and final exam review as well. And we have our math specialist, Jay Whitehead, who actually got his master's degree here at UT. So we have a person who is specialized in math making those reviews. So it's really getting like a content expert. And we have graduate students who run those math reviews. And then
that's a good resource.
Yeah.
Students will come to me and they're like, I'm really struggling with calculus. I'm really struggling with chemistry. And the next question I'm going to ask, you probably already know this, is like, well, have you gone to free tutoring?
Have you gone to tutoring? Exactly.
Like, sometimes they're like, yes, I have. But more often than not, it's like, I didn't even know that was a thing. It's like, well, not only is that a thing, let me show you all the classes on their website you can get free tutoring for.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, and that's, it's so nice to hear that, you know, our other fellow staff members are kind of plugging us. But I hear you. There's definitely just, I think, a kind of association with Sanger that is just tutoring, and we do provide so many different things, because we know that all learners don't learn the same. So we recognize that some people really do like the one-on-one, some folks like the group thing, some folks need more kind of accountability or study skills, some people need more content help. So we really try to make our services as kind of personalized and dynamic for kind of what students need.
It's amazing. Every time I go to the website, I'm like, this is so robust. There's stuff about time management. There's stuff about procrastination. There's stuff about just getting your life together.
Yeah, I remember just scrolling through the website and seeing something about the Public Speaking Center. And I was thinking, wow, they really are covering everything.
We are. Yeah. So that's a new initiative. It started about 2 years ago now, but we've seen enormous growth, just to let you know. It's really booming because as you probably are aware, like more and more faculty are considering that things like group projects, presentations, like these are important components of courses these days. But, you know, not every faculty member is really providing students, you know, that practice time or even just those basic public speaking presentation type skills. The Public Speaking Center is there. Again, you can, these are all free and you can take, you know, you can have as many appointments as you like. And they have two different types. So one is a sort of preparation phase. So if you're just getting started and you haven't even, you know, kind of really thought that much about what you are presenting, but you want to talk that out with somebody, you can take a preparation phase appointment. Or if you are like kind of ready to go and you want to practice, they have a rehearsal phase appointment. And so you can do either one, you can do them multiple times. And we also have a group based one. So if you are doing a group presentation and you want to, your whole group wants to attend the appointment and practice, we have that option as well. So there's a lot of different modalities in the Public Speaking Center.
Wow. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Covering all the bases.
Trying to cover as many bases. Yeah.
You heard it here first. Singer has like a million different resources. It's all online and it's all free.
All free because you already paid for it.
Exactly. Right. So go use
Somebody
that.
Paid for it.
Yeah. Somebody paid for it. Yeah.
Yes. So Nisha, what about your career with the Singer Learning Center is most satisfying to you? What makes you super excited to get to work in the morning?
Absolutely. That's a really good question. So I like to think of my job at Sanger as kind of twofold. I work as a learning specialist, and then I work as the senior SI coordinator. And I think that the thread that really connects those two roles is just my interaction with students. And so as a learning specialist, as I mentioned, that's kind of meeting one-on-one with students. I tried my best to get to know them, understand what their aspirations are, where their struggles are. And I try to strive to convey everything that I've learned, you know, during my time at Sanger, but also in graduate school about effective studying. And then in my role as a senior SI coordinator, you know, mainly my job is to meet groups of peer educators. So these are undergraduate and graduate students who I train and manage. And what they do is they conduct these weekly sessions for historically difficult courses. And that really gives students a safe space to collaborate, construct and apply their knowledge, as well as develop the best skills to succeed in that course. And again, both of those roles really allow me to meet and get to know, like, just at this point, you know, I've been at Sanger for about 5 years.
Yeah.
I've probably met close to 100 students that are just, I mean, I'm always really amazed at how resilient, motivated, talented these students are. And that's really just the best part of my job.
Yeah. Getting to interact with students is really what keeps people who work in higher education going.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that is really awesome. So when you're meeting with these students, especially now in this pandemic, what are struggles that you're noticing and how do you think Sanger can help with that?
Definitely. I mean, I would say personally, the current number one concern that I have about students, well, twofold really, is, you know, how are they being affected by the pandemic? I think there are a lot of students that they themselves have either been affected because of, you know, they themselves have gotten it or their family members or someone close to them. We're talking about students who probably have lost a lot, whether that's lost friends and family or just the idea of loss, you know, losing that experience of coming. Some folks, you know, I think one of your questions was about not really being able to come to UT campus if they decided to stay home and that was just a better choice for them. I mean, that still means like a loss of your first year experience and your you know, interacting with new students. And so, you know, I think that's definitely a concern that a lot of staff have. And then the other, you know, as we know, the current climate of the United States means that there are certainly some students that are just truly being disadvantaged by the situation.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, you know, my concern is always going to be the holistic student, the student as a whole. And so I think this was maybe one of the questions at the end about kind of what do I want students to know the most about? And I want them to, of course, I want them to do well in school, and I want them to get effective study skills and get the kind of support and help that they need. But more important in this time, I think, is to be making connections. And I know that's very hard to do online, and sometimes even harder if you feel like you don't have your own personal space and things like that. But I really encourage students to reach out to just one person on campus. And that means mm-hmm. that can be a faculty member, that can be a staff member, your advisor or your mentor or a coach. Just that one connection can really make a huge difference, I think.
Yeah.
And so that's what I see Sanger being, you know, us as learning specialists. We don't have any, I like to say this, we don't have any skin in the game. And what I mean by that is I'm not trying to get you to complete this particular degree plan. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to hound you to get your registration done or remove this bar. Really, all I am here to do is help you meet your goal, and whatever that may be. And so it's really a totally non-judgmental role. We have no skin in the game other than what you want to accomplish. So even if you don't feel like you have that in, you know, other roles in your life or faculty members or other mentors, you can always reach out to Sanger for that kind of connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a safe space, right? Like, you don't want to go to your professor and seem dumb at office hours.
Absolutely.
Or be judged by other classmates or your TA. You can kind of go to Sanger to get some of this help without any real or unintended consequence in your actual class.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have no connection to, you know, we don't report to your faculty member. We certainly don't mm-hmm. report to your advisor. So really what we're here to do is to help you with whatever you want to get accomplished. And that, if that does mean, you know, you want to talk out, you know, study skills, if you want to get help with content through tutoring or SI, but also learning specialists, definitely we deal with a lot of affective issues. So students will absolutely come and say, I'm just feeling really demotivated. And we will do an entire learning specialist appointment just about that. I take test anxiety appointments often because most of the time, test anxiety has a lot of components to it, one being the anxiety component, but also mm-hmm. the other component tends to be preparation. So kind of how are you preparing for exams? And so we can give you really practical tips on how to manage the anxiety, but also to prepare better so that some of that is alleviated from your preparation for that exam.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. So Phil and I both work pretty much exclusively with first-year students mm-hmm. in first-year success programs. And we spend quite a lot of time introducing campus resources to our students, including the Sanger Learning Center. So we know for a fact that our students know Sanger exists and knows the types of resources that Sanger offers and knows that it is free and extremely helpful. However, not all of our students feel comfortable reaching out for help. And we definitely touched on this just a couple minutes ago. There might be some stigma to it, or they're just not used to reaching out for help. What would you say to these students who know that the help exists but aren't comfortable looking for it yet?
Yeah, I can absolutely relate to those feelings. So like I said, I was a student at UT, and like I mentioned, you know, I didn't have the best preparation, but I got here. I thought, you know, I kind of have it figured out. I'll mm-hmm. I'll just figure it out when I get here. Or, you know, being there meant that I should have figured it out. Something about that meant, you know, I'm not really supposed to be asking for help because I'm here. I'm at UT. I'm a college student now. And I absolutely did really poorly my first round of exams. And I just remember being so upset. I remember like just looking, I mean, I'm really remembering the blue book and like the circle number and then like being so upset. And just literally, I think I tossed it in the garbage can. Like I didn't even look at it.
Aww.
And yeah, and that was, you know, I was really intimidated to go see my professors in office hours. Cause I thought, you know, if I ask questions, they're just going to think that I'm dumb or that I'm lazy. I'm just, you know, I'm just not getting it. And I remember just the first instinct that I had was, oh, I just didn't work hard enough or long enough. It just became a component of time. And so I remember my second round of exams, I was like, okay, I'm just going to reread everything.
And oh my gosh.
I'm going to reread everything, which is like, wow, that's a lot of time. But also I remember I was sitting, I can still remember the Jester study room that I sat in, and I probably had like reams of paper that I went through rewriting my entire set of notes verbatim, right? So I have my notes and then I'm just rewriting them, just looking at them and rewriting them probably something like 5 or 6 times.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I went through so much paper, and I'm embarrassed to say that now because I do care a lot about sustainability. yeah, so I remember being really just, all I could think of is I'll just do it more. I'll just do it harder. I'll just do it more. Mm-hmm. I'll just do it more time. And the worst part about that was, of course, it didn't work. So yes. I did, you know, maybe a shade better, but I ended up still not doing very well. And I actually ended up on academic probation my second semester at UT. Mm-hmm. So, and I tell people that because, again, as I said, I'm not embarrassed of things anymore. I'm just, you know, willing to be vulnerable and open about those things, because I do want people to also hear that someone like me was on academic probation and she still got 2 graduate degrees and has mm-hmm. a pretty like happy career at UT.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes, you know, when you have that struggle, when you have that roadblock, you kind of catastrophize like, this is it. Like, I'm going to fail this test and therefore I'm going to fail that class and therefore I'm going to end up under a bridge. Like, you just kind of like, you know,
those are so clearly connected, right?
Absolutely. Well, and I, you know, I think that's like a really common human thing, is to catastrophize or to just, you know, we call it like the, you know, rolling down the hill. You just one step wrong and you just end up in mm-hmm. a ditch somewhere.
Yeah.
And that is such a misconception. You know, that's one class out of the 5 classes you're taking that semester, of all the classes you're ever going to take at UT. So, you know, mm-hmm. one small roadblock, you can totally recover from that. The question is, what do you do next? Right. So the first thing is, you can totally just feel bad, and that's okay. Feeling your feelings mm-hmm. is really important, and mm-hmm. Kind of the opposite of what I did, which is just to like shove them down and be like, never mind, I'm just going to work harder. But the truth is, it's okay.
I'm going to write my notes 10 times this time.
That'll fix everything. Yeah, but it's okay to feel a little bad and to, you know, revel in that feeling. And then to the second component of that is then to be compassionate to yourself, right? And say, okay, it's okay that I messed up. I'm not the worst person in the world. I'm not the worst student in the world. I just haven't figured out what is going to work yet. And that's mm-hmm. the big component, the yet part. I haven't figured it out yet, but I am going to figure it out. And mm-hmm. then trying something different. And that could be coming to Sanger and meeting somebody like me, like a learning specialist. That could be going to tutoring. That could be going back to your advisor and just talking it out and being like, what resources do you think would be a good idea? But it really is that kind of what we call the next step, you know, like what next step do you want to take? And that's kind of what I would encourage students to do. But like I said, the truth is, I like to talk a little bit about the K-12 system, because I do think a lot of students take on the burden and the responsibility of their preparation, which they sometimes, you know, of course, there's shared responsibility there. You know, what you did in high school and what you do at UT does matter. But also, the fact that you are struggling to adjust to college learning is not an indication that you're like a bad student or a bad person.
Yes.
It's
pretty normal, actually, right? Like lots of people struggle with this.
I mean, I can't tell you when I'm out in the world and I, you know, happen to meet somebody new and they're like, oh, what do you do? And I describe a little bit of what, you know, my job is, somewhere close to 99% of the time, these adult people are like, oh my God, I could have used that in college.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody I meet is just like, why wasn't that a thing when I was a student? And so I think, and maybe that was, it's just that they didn't know about it.
Yeah.
But I really want to highlight that, you know, elementary, middle, and high school experiences, they're generally set up so that you have these well-trained teachers that spend a lot of time making your learning and working all of that inside the classroom. And mm-hmm. so you're generally, when I talk to students about what was your high school experience like, they talk a lot about taking quizzes and tests pretty regularly.
Yeah.
Like close to, you know, every other week. Mm-hmm. And then even having time set aside in class to do homework. And that's, you know, that's great. And that's why they have been learning effectively.
Yeah.
But that ends up shifting enormously in college, where the expectation now is that you're going to be spending a lot of time outside of class learning that material. But no one's actually taught you the effective ways to do that, right?
No.
So I want students to start to hopefully shift off some of this, like, responsibility, like, I should know how to learn, to like, oh, no one ever taught me to. So it's not totally a surprise that I don't know how to do that. And then just to be fully honest about the public education system, which, you know, the majority of our freshmen have matriculated from, it's not an equal system. You know, some folks did not receive the same kinds of resources or preparation, and that's just inequitable. And I include myself in this because it's true for me. But I was never taught those strategies or how to implement them on my own. So what I really encourage students to take away is not to feel embarrassed or ashamed. It's just that you may need some help learning those strategies right now. And so internalizing that unnecessary responsibility that's what creates that shame and that discomfort. And that's, I think, what ultimately prevents people from reaching out for help.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I always like to use a couple of different tactics to speak to different groups of students. So, you know, if you are the student that's like upset and frustrated that your school didn't prepare you for UT, and you feel that, oh, you know, that person sitting next to me in class or that person on Zoom, they had it better. Well, you know what, Sangers, now you're leg up. You know, we're not going to hand you any answers to any by any means, but we can give you that extra edge. You know, we can teach you those research-based skills that will serve you here at UT, beyond. And it's free because you already paid for it. So, you know, don't let that go to waste.
Mm-hmm,
and then if you're the student that is a little bit worried about being judged or treated poorly because you're reaching out, you're asking for help, you feel like that's showing some kind of sign of weakness, the staff and the student staff at Sanger have made it their absolute mission to provide non-judgmental, safe, personalized, and responsive support for all students. So you can know that when you arrive at any one of our services, you'll be greeted by staff and peer educators that want to help you.
Yes, that is so good
to hear that. You know, as people who do these kinds of programs in partnership or in concert along with the things that you're doing, we have the same goals. And it's always nice to know that when you send students in your program, and you know how this is, you get very protective of your students, and you want them to like be taken care of, and it can be very parental.
Absolutely.
It's always nice to know that you can send them somewhere where you know they're going to be taken care of, and that they're going to get the very best out of everyone that works there. And I've never had any hesitation to sending students your way. So
no,
I'm so grateful that y'all are there and that it exists and that our students can take advantage of it. I wish more students took advantage of it, honestly.
Well, and that's what the other third kind of point that I would make is, some folks have this, you know, stigma that like tutoring or support is remedial or, you know, dummies. And really the research shows the opposite. So students who use different strategies for different classes, those students who reach out for help and do it early and often, and students who show themselves compassion, those are the ones that end up sticking out the tough times in college, and they've been able to get better grades and actually graduate on time, versus those who just try to like do the lone wolf kind of thing. And so the best way to learn about those strategies and take part in tutoring, study sessions, workshops, consultations is just to check out Sanger.
Very good points made. Mm-hmm. I will definitely repeating that word for word to my students.
Please steal whatever you would like.
Yes.
borrow, right? Well, Nisha, I think that's about it. We're out of time.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming to talk with us today. We really appreciate it. Hopefully we can get our students walking through your virtual Zoom doors very soon.
We would love that. Thank you so much for having me. And please reach out. Reach out to Christina or Phil if you'd like to speak with me or other learning specialists, or just to get to know more about Sanger.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Nisha.
Wow.
What an amazing guest. Nisha just was like the fountain of all things Sanger information.
Yeah, I feel like I want to go back to undergrad just so I can use the Sanger Learning Center because like, I feel bad.
You're like, there are some C's that could have made A's if I had gone to Sanger.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm looking at my C from Intro to Economics freshman year. I'm like, that could have been an A. Wow. Yeah.
It's one of the classes they have like actual tutoring for too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I am super excited. I really want to bring her back for another episode to talk about maybe the psychology of learning.
Yeah, and what's going on with the brain and the biology.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's what I was saying. Like, her whole family, they should be a panel. They could talk about, like, anything from all these different perspectives.
For sure. We had, what was it? We had engineering. We had English. We had
biology. Economics.
Yeah. There was quite a lot in there.
Yeah, I guess I didn't know too much about this peer academic coaching program that they have. I really like that. You know, it sounds like tutoring, but it's a little less scary, right? Like,
yeah,
you kind of get some advice from an upperclassman. And
someone who already took that class.
Exactly. Yeah.
Knows the exams, knows the quizzes, the formats of that. Honestly, that is an invaluable resource. You can know the material as much as you can, but I feel one perspective that really makes you successful in a class is understanding how a professor makes their exams and how they grade those exams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't really get to figure that out until after your first exam, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
If you can kind of talk to somebody who's been there before, you get yourself a little bit of a leg up.
Yeah, yeah. Something else I thought that was really interesting that Nisha mentioned is that the professional learning specialist that you can meet with, you can also talk about learning disabilities and how you can format your city skills to accommodate your learning difficulties. And mm-hmm. I think that is super interesting because I did not know that I had ADHD until my senior year of college.
Wow.
And when I learned that and was diagnosed with that, it made so much more sense why college was so hard for
mm-hmm.
me
mm-hmm.
and why, how whenever people would give me all these study tips, I could not implement them. My brain just,
right.
I was not wired to do that. And so I'm just thinking like, wow, I could have gone to the Sanger Learning Center and they would have probably told me straight away that
you get tested, right?
Yeah. Or mm-hmm. like at the bare minimum, give me some other strategy that would work. Because I know that something that we always talk about with our first year students is, oh, well, you should break up tasks into smaller things so that you can mm-hmm. focus better. But for me, breaking things up into smaller tasks made me more overwhelmed and anxious and unfocused because whenever I wanted to start on an assignment, I wanted to do the entire assignment in one sitting. So breaking things up was very counterintuitive to me.
Right.
And I think that is just something that I could have figured out a lot sooner if I actually asked for help.
You got a little bit of help from your friends. Yeah. I mean, how many students, you know, they come to college and they're like, I'm just going to do what I did in high school because I was successful. And then, okay, they hit some roadblocks and then they don't know what to do, right?
Yes.
Like, I'm studying wrong. I'm not reading fast enough. I don't have the skills that I need to be as successful as I want to be. And you can do it the hard way through trial and error, right? Like
mm-hmm.
you can try different types of calendaring or try different kinds of scheduling or time management or whatever. Or you can go to the Sanger Center and get some professional help instead of figuring it out by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, figure out how to do laundry by yourself. That's something you can maybe do on your own with a YouTube video. But like, figuring out how to college,
uh-huh.
you know, if there's professionals that can help you with that, like,
yeah.
Use them.
Yeah, absolutely. And something else that Nisha said that really stuck out to me is how after not doing well the first round of exams, instead of how can I fine tune my study skills, the initial instinct was I just need to do exactly what I was doing before, but more.
Yeah, just more of it,
yes,
right?
And I think this is something that every freshman does where, uh-huh. oh, I didn't do well in that exam. I'll just write it again and again and again, or I'll just reread everything again and again and again, because it's just instinct that in high school that worked because in high school
right.
your exams were like memorization and multiple choice exams. But in college, it's about knowledge application and critical thinking, and everything is a free answer response. And so it is a new way of learning and a new way of studying that freshmen really haven't been exposed to yet. And their best resource is people who specialize in teaching freshmen how to do these things.
Right. I think it's funny, you know, She talked about Blue Books, and it's like, gosh, we're still using Blue Books. Oh. Maybe not this semester, but
yeah, I felt a shiver in my spine when she said the word Blue Books. It made me feel some type of way.
It certainly did. Well, yeah. Well, that was a great interview. I think this has been an excellent episode 2 for our fledgling podcast here.
Yes.
So thanks for being part of it, as always. I'm Phil Butler.
I'm Christina Bowie, and we are super excited you're listening to Sounds of Success.
You'll hear us next time.
Yes, absolutely. Bye, y'all.